It's easy to lose sight of the individual actions Congress took in that gigantic omnibus spending bill it signed on its way out the door last week. One of the items that crossed the finish line successfully was a reauthorization of the Land and Water Conservation Fund, LWCF to its many fans. It's a fund to allow and afford the conservation of key pieces of land and waterways around the country. Reauthorization is certainly appreciated by LWCF supporters, but there's a little more nuance to the situation. Our next guest can explain what happened in Congress and why conservation groups are not exactly overjoyed. Dan Cherry is with the Northwest Sport Fishing Industry Association, NSIA, where he's the Director of Communication and Membership. Dan, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
So the brush up first, if you could remind people what the LWCF Land and Water Conservation Fund is.
Yeah, so it's a program that was created right around 50 years ago, and it was it takes a small amount of royalties generated through offshore federal oil and gas leases and reinvests that back into communities across the nation. And it was created out of the idea of the government is allowing these companies to take something that belongs to the public. Therefore, let's have the companies give something back to the public by giving them places on dry land that they can go enjoy the outdoors. And so that's where it comes from. And it's been operating for 50 years with, it's been a pretty non-controversial topic until recently for some reason.
Well, that age would indicate that it came into being around the same time as the Wilderness Act. Was it considered part of that whole process?
I would assume, but I am not positive if it were in any sort of package.
All right. I wonder what it's been like for conservation groups, though, because on one hand, I can imagine you have some issues with exploration, particularly offshore for petroleum products, and yet that brings income to the Land and Water Conservation Fund.
Well, it does. With NSIA, we typically don't get off into offshore oil exploration all that much. It's not really my area, so I'll be careful not to step on any toes with that one.
All right. Give examples, if you would, about where the Land and Water Conservation Fund has been used in the Northwest.
First of all, it really provides, on a large scale, matching funds for communities across the nation to kind of like, you know, build ballparks or, you know, buy a little section, you know, for a city park or a nice little outdoor area. On a bigger scale, I mean, it's gone towards programs. I mean, it's gone towards like places in the Mount Rainier Wilderness, parts of around Mount Hood here in Oregon, I believe. It's helped connect parts of the Pacific Crest Trail. Things like that. I mean, it's hard to say exactly everything that it's done, but it's kind of small projects all across the nation.
It sounds like it's a grant-based thing, though, where you put in for the LWCF money and then try to make that part of the seed for a garden of more money.
Yeah, I think that was the intent of the program, and there's some calls to get back to that to a little bit more. And I think it works. I think it works all ways. It's just a pool of money that if you have your proposal accepted, they'll throw you down a little bit of cash from the pool.
Let's talk about the NSIA itself, and I mean, obviously this is the kind of thing that you'd support, but what does NSIA do for sport fishing people or for sport fishing people industries?
Yeah, so we're the Northwest Sport Fishing Industry Association. We are an industry association primarily. We serve the business interests of businesses that serve anglers across the Northwest, specifically recreational angling. So you're talking about boat manufacturers, rod builders, tackle makers, guides, retailers, all across the spectrum of businesses that will serve your recreational angler. We work on building a good bedrock for them to kind of build out from, and that bedrock is healthy fisheries, first and foremost. We want to have a lot of fish around for people to go catch, or otherwise they won't go. And we want to make sure that that's sustainable. We want to make sure that those fisheries are going to be around for generations to come, and we're not fishing to the last fish. And, you know, we're keeping a level head about this. And the other side of what we do is we work on policies that make it, that build a good environment for your recreational, you know, weekend angler to be able to get out there and go. And that's kind of what LWCF is. It falls into that policy line in that if we don't appreciate the programs that give our general public areas to go fishing, they're not going to go fishing. And then that's a big problem for the businesses that we serve.
And if people are wondering about the uses of the Land and Water Conservation Fund over the years, I'm looking at something from Forest History Today from last year's issue, which talks about the fact that 7 million acres of land have been protected through the Land and Water Conservation Fund. And more than 41,000 state and local park projects have been affected through this. It's protected land in 98% of American counties. That's what's going on with the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which has been reauthorized by Congress. There's a bit of a hitch with that, which we'll get to in a moment with Dan Cherry, who is the Director of Communication and Membership at the Northwest Sport Fishing Industry Association, NSIA. You can join our discussion on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Dan, you said the LWCF had generally been non-controversial until recent years. Any idea where resistance to reauthorizing it had come from first?
Well, I'd hate to speculate, but there are some that kind of have an aversion to anything public or anything that involves an investment by government into the public domain. And you know, that's a political thought that's a little bit more prevalent these days. And, you know, they say that that the land management programs aren't able to manage the amount of lands that they currently have. And I just kind of look at that through a different lens. Just because the Park Service and the Forest Service and BLM and all this and that, they're you know, having a hard time operating on a shoestring budget, that doesn't to me say that we should throw our hands up and quit investing in nature and quit investing in giving the public places to get outside and go enjoy that. It says to me that you need to place value in the programs that do give that opportunity.
And judging by the way the LWCF has been used over the years, we're not talking about just national parks or national forests at all, are we?
Oh, no. I mean, now, don't get me wrong. It has been used in national parks. I mean, part of Grand Canyon National Park. There was some investment from LWCF that went into that. But it's by no means only national park. As a matter of fact, it's probably more prevalent on a smaller scale in, you know, municipalities and smaller communities.
All right. So that sort of works against the whole idea about, we can't manage the parks we got because it's not necessarily in the hands of the federal folks anyway. So the issue with Congress this year is that Congress gave the authorization go ahead. Describe how things broke down, because it's a really interesting split.
Yeah. So the program expired on September 30th, and it just kind of sat in limbo there for a while. They were still collecting funds into the LWCF pool, but it wasn't necessarily authorized to be allocated to anyone in particular. It was just kind of going back into the general fund, that's what I assume. So since then, there's been a lot of back and forth, and it would be a shame if I didn't show my appreciation for Oregon Senators Wyden and Merkley, Washington Senators Cantwell and Murray. They really got out front and pushed hard for this. But it just kind of got there were some members of the House that wouldn't let it come up to a vote, even though LWCF enjoyed, you know, pretty broad bipartisan support. But it just, you know, kind of wasn't able to navigate the system. And so now it was included in this larger omnibus package. And, yeah, it reauthorized it for 3 years, gave funding for 1 year, and then the other two they'll sort out later.
All right, that's the interesting part of this. So you get the authorization that says, okay, the Land and Water Conservation Fund continues to exist for three more federal fiscal years, retroactive to October 1st, I'm sure. And then, but then you'll only enough funding for 1 year.
Yeah. It's kind of, you know, I'm not a fan of the uncertainty of it. It just feels to me like another time whenever Congress has just kind of kicked the can down the road on important issues. And, you know, we look at the past few years and we've seen Congress, you know, not passing meaningful budgets. It's always been these, you know, these kind of omnibus stopgap kind of budgets that we've been working on, you know, always going down to the deadline, always going down to, you know, threat of government shutdown time and time again. And then we look at a program like LWCF that's been around for 50 years and, you know, non-controversial. It doesn't cost taxpayers a dime. And all of a sudden, that's a contentious issue now, and it gets held up, and it's part of budget negotiations and all this and that. It's kind of, it gets frustrating, you know, when is enough enough?
Does it feel like getting half a loaf to get the 3-year authorization but the 1-year funding?
Well, I mean, certainly, but I mean, if you have to choose between 3 years of authorization or nothing, I mean, of course you take the 3 years. And when, you know, we're happy to see the program reauthorized, even if it is temporarily. And hopefully by the time the 3 years are up, you know, the level heads will prevail and people will see the value in virtually free programs. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of like here's something that has been benefiting people all across the country for 5 decades. And now that's a contentious issue. It's kind of hard to wrap my head around why that is all of a sudden.
Dan Cherry, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is with the Northwest Sport Fishing Industry Association, or NSIA, where he's the Director of Communication and Membership. They are supporters of the LWCF, the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which, as you heard, just got reauthorized by Congress for 3 years, but only funded for 1 year. You can join us on the Exchange with your thoughts about conservation funding from the federal government, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk about the amount of money, too, because it looks like it's less than the LWCF had been getting in the past.
Yeah, so they reauthorized it at $450 million. And if that's a $450 million guaranteed, well, that'd be nice. The program was drawn up to bring in $900 million annually. And again, like I said, this isn't no cost to taxpayers. This is all, you know, a small percentage of funds generated from offshore oil and gas development gets put into a pool and is intended to be distributed back out to public program or public parks and so forth. But over the years, even at the $900 million level, it never got that much. It would constantly be rated by appropriations and going off to fill gaps in other areas. And very rarely did it ever come close to actual $900 million investment in public spaces. So if we get $450 million and it goes all the way to parks and public lands, that'd be fantastic.
So the $900 million, though, I'm curious to know about the income. We talked about the offshore oil and gas leases that provide funding for this, which is why it is not a thing that is funded directly by American taxpayers. Do the leases for offshore oil and gas bring in as much as the fund was allocated?
Oh, I could not speculate on how much that is. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. that is something I've not gotten off into as far as how much that is.
All right, I'll see if we can find it on our end. But the question was whether the money was there. So the point is now that it had been allocated $900 million a year, had it not been consistently appropriated the $900 million a year because of different funds getting a hold of it. But even then, I mean, if as you're saying, with 450, if it's a 450 that's dedicated to land and water conservation projects, that would be a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's you know, it was always a shame to see what was intended to go towards public projects to, you know, get constantly siphoned off to fill the gaps here and there. And that's just the way it had been for years and years. So, I mean, if we see a reauthorization in the future with a full funding of whatever that amount may be, full funding and, you know, dedicated spending towards public projects, we would support that.
Let us take a call here. We have Julie in Ashland on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the Land and Water Conservation Fund, or LWCF, with Dan Cherry from the Northwest Sport Fishing Industry Association. Hi, Julie.
Hello there. Well, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to just say what seems obvious in my mind, but it may not be obvious to everybody. But it seems to me that what's happening a lot to our laws that protect our resources, we've been under quite a lot of attack lately for our water and our forests, and the LNG pipeline is somewhat of an attack. So there's a lot of corporate interest in taking over our resources, our public lands, our public trusts. And I am in a community rights group that is awake to this and working on writing laws that counteract these sorts of gestures. And right now, this one seems Like, nobody can figure out, well, why wouldn't they just do what they've always been doing? It's a good thing for the people. But that's just it. It's too good. And they're wanting to chip away at these structures that are in place that do protect our resources and our public lands. So I think what this is exactly what we see. It is to start a controversy that keeps people like you and I having to stand up for it and protect it and insist and somehow coerce Congress in our direction instead of in corporate direction. And I don't mean coerce, but get them, you know, we have to keep speaking our voice, and writing laws that protect us the way we want our government to be doing for us. So basically I'm saying that we now have to keep watch on this and make sure that they keep it intact and don't weaken it, which they've already done. There's a compromise of $450 million, and they've chipped away some of the years. So I'm sorry. I hope I'm being clear, but I just think now we have to watch this. And that's what's happening everywhere, and it takes a lot of our energy. But we have to remember that we are the 99%, and collectively and together, we are stronger.
All right.
And we have to just learn our democratic skills. We have to get educated and do this. So.
All right, stand up for what you believe in. Thanks for that, Julie. Appreciate hearing that. Let's get a response from you, Dan.
You know, I what I hear out of that is I agree. I mean, there is an opportunity, and we should stand up for programs that are, you know, they say in politics, nothing's a no-brainer. But this is about as close as they get. And, you know, this is something that we should stand up for. But I hear the other side in that people tend to talk about, you know, if you protect this land, it's just going to turn into an economic wasteland. We won't be able to develop it. We won't be able to log it. We won't be able to do anything. And it's just simply not the case. I mean, whenever you look at the larger outdoor recreation economy that exists here in the Northwest, I mean, you're looking at a $12 billion a year industry. And that's, of course, you know, hiking, camping, hunting, fishing, all of the above. But, I mean, you're talking about a $12 billion industry. And that is not economic wasteland. That's people getting out and enjoying these. And that is driving consumer spending. And so to pretend that we're just going to pigeonhole ourselves is absurd, in my opinion.
Dan Cherry, is that a tough case to make, though? I mean, you guys have been making this case for a long time, I would assume, at the Northwest Sport Fishing Industry Association, but you're not an extractive industry, you know, which brings in the biggie bucks like big timber and big coal, big oil, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, so thankfully, I mean, our organization, we do have a pretty strong voice in local governments in that we have a lot of our lawmakers understand the importance of protecting our resources, especially our salmon. I mean, but that it draws in people from all over the world to come out here and come fish our wonderful fisheries that we have. I mean, these are world-class opportunities that people have. And, I mean, you're talking about people come in from everywhere and just, I mean, I'm looking at some stats right now from industry studies that have been put together. You're talking about, you know, the industry creates 11,000 jobs and drives, you know, millions of dollars in consumer spending every year in just recreational angling. And so whenever you present that case, it makes it a little bit easier to have your voice heard because you're not strictly coming at it from an environmental standpoint and not strictly coming at it from a business standpoint, but you've got a balance there, and people tend to listen to that. So we've had a good amount of success.
I'd venture a guess that part of the issue with the Land and Water Conservation Fund is that it is more about the trimmings and the extras, you know, like providing access to a world-class fishery, but the fishery was already there, you know, providing trails to get to cool places, not the cool places themselves.
You are exactly correct. That is exactly what we're going on about. I mean, the you know, navigable waterways are all public, but it's the access is the issue. If you don't have, so I live in the Portland metro area, and around where I live, I love to fish the Sandy River. And there's a land holding that LWCF funds purchased a land holding back on the upper Sandy River, and it is a beautiful place that I love, and there is a trail that I can hike into it, and then whenever I get back there, there's no trespassing signs, I won't be kicked off the river. I don't have to worry about breaking any laws. I have the river. And, I mean, not that I possess the river, but I have the river to myself a lot of times, and I get to go back there and enjoy it. And I think that's a really special thing that we should have more of.
Are there cases where Land and Water Conservation Fund can also pay for, not so much for acquisition, but also for restoration or something like that?
I don't know if it goes into land restoration. I don't believe it does.
Mm-hmm. But the access thing is a huge one, it sounds like, particularly for people involved with what you do with sport fishing.
Yeah, we certainly believe in it. I mean, we believe in providing people with, you know, like you said, trails to get in, boat launches to launch their boats. And then after that, after they're able to access it, they're able to get in there and enjoy this wonderful hobby. And they're able to, you know, go in and then they buy more gear and they want to get further in. And they, you know, or if they're like me, they lose $20 worth of gear on the bottom of the river just about every time that they go out. You got to replace that. And that all creates jobs somewhere down the line.
We were looking. It looks like the federal government brings in $10 billion a year for oil, gas, and some mineral royalties as well. So we might have a few things mixed up in there. But $10 billion, and we're talking about $450 million out of that, is not by any means the whole pot, but we might be doing some apples and oranges here. It's like just a caution there. But the fact is that we're talking about the Land and Water Conservation Fund re-up for 1 year, and instead of at $900 million, at $450 million, with no funding for the additional 2 years of authorization for that. So this isn't the last we'll hear of this, I'm sure. Dan Cherry is the Director of Communication and Membership at the Northwest Sport Fishing Industry Association. Dan, thanks for joining us to talk about the LWCF today.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeff.
All right, take it easy.